Hello, welcome once again to Facebook Bible Study. This is Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas. Glad to have you joining in, either live if you're watching my Facebook page at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, June 24th, 2025, Central Time at 3 p.m. And if not, watching later, either on one of our Facebook pages or on our website, that'll be great. Glad to have you joining in. Appreciate your love for God's Word and desire to know more about it. I am excited about continuing on in this discussion from the book of 1 Peter, and specifically 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read that in just a moment, but a question first. Are you a servant or are you a leader? And yes, that is a trick question. You're probably thinking, well, we're all both, aren't we? I mean, we're servants in some aspects of our lives and maybe leaders in a few others. And that's probably true. But the reason I ask that question and ask it in a trick way is because if you're following the example of Christ, then you should be both at the same time. In the same areas. You should be a servant leader. This past Saturday, we lost one of the very best examples of a servant leader that I have ever known, and that is my friend and brother Davey Carter, who has fought a lot of health issues for many years, but who has been a strong minister in many different areas of church life, including just about every part of our church life and ministry here at West Irwin Church of Christ in Tyler since I came 10 years ago. And he was that before then, 4 years. And so I am saddened by that, especially saddened for his wonderful family, but and for our church, who will miss him dearly. But grateful to God that he came into my life, grateful to God that he is in his health now, away from all of the disease and pain and discomfort that he has experienced for such a long time. Davey and I were at Oklahoma Christian together back in the 70s, although Joyce and I started a year or two before he did. And so lots of connections there, wonderful singing voice, godly servant. And as I think about today's lesson in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, which we're about to read, and the life of the Apostle Peter, which we're about to use as a case study example of this journey to become a servant leader, I think of my brother Davey Carter, and I am grateful for the life he lived and the service that he gave, and the genuine love for Christ and his church and for others that he had in desiring them to have their needs taken care of in this life, but more especially having their needs taken care of through Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ for eternity. So that being said, let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4 again. To the elders among you, Peter is writing, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. What a great passage to describe my brother, Davey Carter. He wasn't a shepherd or an elder in the Lord's church, but he did a lot of pastoral work, a lot of shepherding work, and he did it willingly, not feeling that he must, or that it was a requirement other than the requirement of the love he had for Christ and what his Savior had done for him. He was very willing. He was eager to serve, as this passage puts it. Certainly was a great example to all of the rest of us. And certainly when that chief shepherd of his appears, Jesus Christ, he too will receive that crown of glory. So I want us to do a case study in what Peter is talking about here, but it's not going to be my brother Davy. It's going to be the Apostle Peter himself. And it's because of one of the things he says in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. He writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder." We don't think of the Apostle Peter as an elder in the Lord's church in the first century, and yet that is exactly what he was. Where was that? Well, I'm not sure. He doesn't make that specifically clear. Could have been the church at Jerusalem. Could have been somewhere else. But he definitely says he is a fellow elder. And we understand, we looked last week at those passages that talk about the quality of a man and the character of a man, as well as the qualifications and characteristics. And one of them is that he's a married man, and that he has believing and faithful children. And Peter was that. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then she began to wait on them. And this was while Jesus and his disciples were at their house, the home of Peter's mother, of Peter's wife, because his mother-in-law was there and was suffering. And Jesus healed her. So yes, Peter was a married man. Yes, he was an apostle of Christ. And yes, he was an elder or shepherd or overseer in the church of the first century. Peter uses all of those words. We see them throughout the New Testament used interchangeably, shepherd or pastor, overseer or bishop, and we looked at these terms last week or two, and also elder. And so as we think about Peter as a case study in what it means to be an elder in the church, what it means to be a servant leader in that very special, specific called out sense of being an elder, a shepherd, a pastor, being a overseer or bishop. All of those terms used to describe elders in the church. A lot of people do pastoral things. A lot of people shepherd others. A lot of people are examples. All Christians should be good examples to all the flock, all the church, everyone they come around. But there's a special group of men, and we've looked at this for the last couple of weeks, that were referred to as elders. And Peter acknowledges that he was one. And as he writes 1 Peter 5, he writes from inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he also writes it from personal experience. "I'm writing to you," he says, "as a fellow elder and also as a witness of Christ." He was an apostle as well. And so let's think about, what does it mean to be a servant leader? What does it mean to be an elder in the church? And as we look at Peter as a test case, as a case study, we're going to talk about him being a leader but not a servant, being a servant but not a leader, and being neither one, neither a servant nor a leader, and ultimately being a servant leader, which we'll look at more closely on Thursday. But we'll talk about at the end of this lesson. So first of all, Peter was a leader, but not a servant. You remember that there are so many stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Peter taking the initiative and being the first to speak up, and that's certainly true. And we find one of those examples in Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. And remember, this is Peter being a leader, but not a servant. Mark 8, starting in verse 27. "Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, 'Who do people say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Peter, of course, answered, 'You are the Messiah.' Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him." But it gets worse for the Apostle Peter in verse 31 of Mark 8. "Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, or scribes, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. 'Get behind me, Satan,' Jesus said. 'You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.' Jesus told him, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because Jesus said he was going to be killed by the Jewish leaders, and that he would be buried, and that he would be raised on the third day. And Peter said, No, this will never happen to you." Peter's being a leader here, but he's not being a servant. He's not listening. He's not hearing. He's not thinking through these things. He's just jumping out and saying something. And then Jesus goes even further, starting in verse 34 of Mark 8. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Luke says, take up their cross daily. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." It's interesting where this passage occurs, and it's right after Peter's interaction with Jesus and Jesus with the other apostles, and Peter rebuking Jesus for saying that he was going to be killed for the salvation of all. He was going to be crucified. And we read about this in Matthew 16 as well. And Jesus says, look, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, then you're going to have to be a servant. And Peter, you're not being a servant right now. You're going to have to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You're going to have to not be so concerned with saving your life as much as being willing to lose it for the sake of the gospel. Not in a masochistic way, but in a way that serves the Lord and the church, in a way that Jesus gave himself in his life and in his death for others. And so Peter at this time is a leader but not a servant. He's the first to speak up. He speaks it out loud, rebukes even Jesus, their master. Very much the leader, but not the servant. Well, the second one we look at is Peter being neither a servant nor a leader. And this is the familiar passage where Jesus is interacting with his apostles just before he is prays all night and is betrayed by Judas Iscariot and ultimately arrested and crucified. And as he's talking to his disciples, I love the way Luke's version has this in Luke 22, because he's talking to his apostles and he's telling them that they're all going to leave him. And of course, they all deny it. But then he has this special interaction with the apostle Peter in Luke 22, beginning in verse 31. "Simon, Simon," I preached a series of sermons one time a while back on names in the Bible that are repeated, like this one: Simon, Simon, Abraham, Abraham, Martha, Martha, Saul, Saul. I enjoyed that series. This was one of them. Luke 22, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Remember, Simon is Simon Peter. That's his full name. Jesus gave him the name Peter, the rock. And Jesus tells him, "Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back," I think this is such an important part that only Luke includes, "and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And apparently they all said something similar. Verse 34, Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." This is the time when Peter is neither a servant nor a leader. He's voicing things that aren't servant-oriented, and he's not the leader that he needs to be. And he's just kind of talking out of his head, we might say. Why do you say that, Bill? Well, because of the rest of this passage. You skip down a little bit in Luke 22, and it's the story that you know so well. Even after Jesus warned him, even after Jesus prayed for him, even after Peter claimed that he would never, never deny Christ, even if it meant his death, In Luke 22, just a few verses down in verse 54, "Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him, Jesus.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said." That's one. Verse 58 of Luke 22, "A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied." That's denial number two. And then verse 59, "About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" They could recognize where he was from because of the way he talked. Verse 60, "Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.'" Denial number three. "Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." In these verses, Peter was not acting as a servant or a leader. He was just acting unfaithfully. And Luke includes something that the other gospel writers don't include as they talk about this same story. And that's verse 61. After Peter denies him the third time, after the rooster crows, verse 61 of Luke 22 says, "The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter." Can you imagine? Think of yourself in your lowest moment. The moment when you have perhaps denied Christ yourself, or the moment when you have acted so sinfully and unfaithfully towards him, or a moment of great rebellion where you have cursed Jesus perhaps or God and vowed that you would never follow him. And imagine at that very moment the Lord turning and looking at you face to face, right into your eyes. That's what happened with Peter. And he remembered what Jesus had said, and he remembered, I'm sure, his reaction, vowing never to do such a thing. And then it says he went outside and he wept bitterly. He cried his eyes out, probably cried all the rest of the night long. Peter, in this case, was neither a servant nor a leader. He was simply a sinner. And so we've seen him as a leader but not a servant, a little bit too arrogant. And we've seen him here as neither a servant nor a leader. And so one more that we'll look at closely today, and it's in John 21, and it's another familiar passage where Peter becomes a servant, but not a leader. He's faithful once again, penitent, as we've read, but really has been humbled and refuses to accept the leadership role that Jesus has for him. John 21, verse 15. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time Jesus said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Perhaps you're familiar with the original language in the Greek that has at least four different words for the word love, that great, all-encompassing, self-sacrificing word that's agape. And another term, a lower level love, a more brotherly affection kind of term, phileo. And it's interesting that Jesus asks him three times, but two different words are used. When Jesus first asked Peter, he asked him, "Do you love me?" And it's that high-end agape love. And Peter doesn't answer with that one. He says, "You know I love you," using that more brotherly affection term. But Jesus doesn't stop. "Peter, feed my sheep." The second time, it's the same thing. "Peter, do you have that ultimate love, agape love for me?" And Peter can't bring himself to do it. And he says, "Lord, you know I have brotherly affection for you." But the third time, in verse 17, Jesus goes down to Peter's level, and he uses that brotherly affection term. Peter, do you love me? And it's like he's saying, do you at least really do that? Do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Do you have that brotherly affection for you? He gave up on the term agape, but he didn't give up on Peter. Peter answered, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Same term, brotherly affection. And Jesus continues, feed my sheep. And then in verse 18 of John 21, the last chapter of John, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, which ultimately would be being crucified upside down at the hands of the Roman Emperor Nero. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one writing this gospel, John the Apostle, was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper, at the Last Supper, and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So we've seen Peter as a leader, but not a servant. And we've seen him as neither a servant nor a leader, acting sinfully. And here we see him as a servant, but not a leader. He refuses to accept Jesus' call to have that agape love, that ultimate self-sacrificing love for Jesus. He'll get there, but he's not there today. And as Jesus interacts with him, he turns around and he sees the Apostle John and he says, what about him? What about him? What's going to happen to him? And it's as if Jesus tells him, don't worry about him. I've got him, just like I've got you. And I'll do with him what I want, and that doesn't affect you. It shouldn't matter to you. Peter, you need to be focused on Peter right now and rebuilding that faith because I need you. The church I'm going to build in just several weeks from now needs you. And so here again, we see Peter as a servant, but not a leader. He refuses to answer Jesus' question using the term that he does. And he tries to change the subject. And that's really what he's doing. Jesus is talking to him about, hey, it's if you continue to follow me, it's going to be bad for you later. And so he changes the subject. Well, what about him? What about him? What about John? And Jesus says, look, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what, who cares? You, Peter, need to follow me. So through this time, we see Peter as a leader, but not a servant. And what does that person need? Well, Peter at that time was a bit arrogant, a bit too quickly spoken, and he needed to be humbled, and he was. Then we saw him as neither a servant nor a leader, not being any of them. And what does that person need? Well, that person needs to be confronted. They need to be challenged. Peter needed to be challenged, and Jesus challenged him, rebuked him right back at him. Earlier in Mark 8, and now he challenges him by telling him, look, Peter, some bad things are going to happen. Be on your toes. And that, yet Peter still fell. And then the last one we just looked at in John 21, when Peter was a servant but not a leader, refusing to use that ultimate agape love term, refusing to stay on the subject and hear what Jesus had to say, instead trying to distract him from hitting too close to home. That's a sign of a servant, maybe. But Jesus needed Peter to be a leader, and he may need you to be a leader too. What does that person need? Well, that person needs assurance. That person needs encouragement. That person may need forgiveness and an opportunity to serve, a calling. And that's exactly what Jesus gives Peter in John 21. Feed my sheep. Stays with him. Never gives up. Follow me. feed my sheep." Well, just like with Peter, wherever you are, God will stay with you and will help you become a better servant leader than what you might be today. And you're saying, well, so what happened to Peter? Well, that's going to be Thursday, my friend, because there's so much to say about where Peter goes from here. And it starts in Acts chapter 1, actually, Luke's second volume after his Gospel of Luke, and the first 30 years or so history of Jesus' church. And one of the names that we see there right off the bat is Peter. And one of the first individuals to speak up in that group, the Apostle Peter, he had learned to be a servant leader. And I look forward to sharing some things about the Apostle Peter with you this coming Thursday. God bless.